So why does God tell us to give so often? Why does the Bible tell us to give so often? Give, give, give. It's all through Scripture, isn't it? We've all heard this. Anybody who's ever been in church, and even if you're not in church, you're thinking, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be giving. Why is it that that happens? I got to thinking about that. You know, I met God as an adult, and so I always have questioned everything. And the pastor said, you know, you're supposed to give a tithe. And I went, what's that? And he said, a tenth. I said, a tenth. A tenth of what? Tenth of your income. Really? I'm supposed to give a tenth of my income. To what? To our church. Oh, now I see. This is a good plan for you. This is how I started this process, okay? I have the gift of cynicism. And I started, that's how I started my spiritual walk. And it took me a little while to start to understand this. My first thing was I thought, okay, all right, I'm convinced. The Bible says give. The Bible says give, 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 give. Because the pastor's showing me. He's sitting with me. He's being patient with me. This rough kid, and he's showing him this stuff. And I'm going, okay, I'm supposed to give. Now, why does God have us to give? And I'm thinking, I know what it is. God needs my money. You ever thought that? God needs your money. Now, that's funny. God needs your money. I mean, think about it. This is God. He said, and the stars also. Boom, whole galaxy. This is God. He needs your help. Ha, ha, ha. He wants your money. He'll take it and there'll be a greasy spot where you were sitting. I got to thinking about it. I thought, well, if God doesn't need my money, why does he have me to give? I know. The church needs my money. And I was really appreciating my church in those days. I still do. And I was thinking, wow, that's it. I'll be a good Christian Boy Scout. I do my best to give my tithe to God and my country and my church, and I do my right. I'm going to keep the rules. These are the rules. And you become a rule keeper. That's a junior Pharisee. And the church needs my money, and I'm going to help out the church. And then I sat in one of those meetings and their budget was bigger than mine. Like $6 or $8 million flowing through that place. I'm going, whoa, place doesn't need my money. Pastor said, don't ever say that out loud. He has a good sense of humor too, right? But you know, church doesn't need your money. Church leaders are going, I'll never show this video. Church doesn't need your money. The church needs sold-out believers that are walking under the power of the Spirit and in wisdom, and the natural byproduct is giving. They don't need your money. That's not why God tells you to give. Yes, the church needs to be supported, and it's a byproduct of why God has us to give, but I think I really did figure out many years ago why God told us to give. You know, in Genesis, some of you have read this, it says, you and I are made in His image. We're made in God's image. And one morning I was sitting and reading the Bible, and it was early in the morning. I got up in those days about 5:30, and I don't always do that. I'm not a perfect person by any stretch, but I was doing good that day. I got up early, the sun's coming up, got the coffee going, and I'm reading my Bible, going through. My son, who's now grown, at that time was about 5 years old. Little Daniel. Little Daniel was 5 years old. Now get the picture. 5 years old's no teeth. 5 years old, he gets up at 5:30 in the morning. He's coming down the stairs, dragging the baby blanket, kablink, 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 down the stairs. I look up, the hair's like this. There's no teeth. The Spider-Man footy pajamas have the knee out of them because he's been sliding in home base. You know what I'm talking about. And he's coming down through there, and he's like looking. And I'm going, oh, this kid is up too early. He is gonna, honey, you need to go back to bed. You're gonna be grouchy and get a beating later. You don't need to, you know. Baby, you need to go back. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, he's interrupting my Bible study here. I mean, I was doing good, and here comes this kid. I mean, I'm just glad to see him. But, I mean, I know he's going to be grouchy. And anyway, he's my only son. I've got two daughters and Daniel. And he comes over, and he says, Daddy, can I sit with you for a little bit? And I say, yeah, honey, but you got to go back to bed in a few minutes. And he climbs up in my lap and gives me a big old kiss. And he says, Daddy, I love you. Life doesn't get much better than that, does it? Before I realized it, I was overwhelmed with emotion. And tears started running down my face. And he said, Dad, what's wrong? Did I do something wrong? I said, no, honey. I was just reading here. And I've read it 100 times, but with you sitting here in my lap, it just hit me a little different. It says God gave His only Son. Wow. That's incredible. I said, baby, that's just hard for me to fathom. I don't understand that. And I got to tell you, you and I are made in His image. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're supposed to give up our sons by any stretch of the imagination. But He is a giver. Ray Bakke says, have you ever heard that scripture? You're knit in your mother's womb. If you look that word up, it's not really knit. It's more like crochet in the Hebrew. You're crocheted in your mother's womb. Your grandmother crocheted? Mine did. She used to crochet these beautiful shawls and all these things, very, you know, blankets for us to keep warm with when we're sitting and watching television, that kind of stuff. When you're crocheted in your mother's womb, Ray Bakke says, can you imagine an RNA and a DNA double helix being crocheted by the maker of heaven? And right there is you, and in that is His imprint. You're made in His image, and He is a giver. I know why He wants us to go through the mechanical act of giving, because when we go through the mechanical act of giving, it changes us. It crushes our heart and it reforms it and it turns us into a little bit more like Him. You can't say you are Christ-like when you're not giving. You can't say you're a follower of Christ when you don't have a spirit that has an open hand. It's impossible. You're not walking in a level of maturity when you're walking around with a clenched fist. It's impossible spiritually. And so He has us to give, because every time that plate passes and I put a tithe check in there, every time I help out somebody in the cause of Christ, and I do it with tangible dollars, or I do it with my time or my talents, it shifts how I think and how I see things. I move from being the selfish all about me to a little bit less about me every time I do that. And when I give and give and give and give and give and give for years, you meet them. They're 80-year-old saints, aren't they? And their countenance is different, isn't it? Their very face muscles are peaceful because they've been transformed by a lifetime of giving. Giving makes us more Christ-like. A spiritually mature Christian gives. Giving moves you to become less selfish. And less selfish people have a tendency to prosper and have quality relationships. You know who makes the best daddy? A less selfish person. You know who makes the best mommy? A less selfish person. You know who makes the best employer? Somebody that's not greedy and squeezing every dime out, that's less selfish and is willing to share as we win. You know who makes the best employee? Somebody who'll do what it takes and comes and does all the things that is less selfish. Not just trying to get the light shined on them, but they're about serving. You always tend to prosper when you're less selfish. Only place selfish people prosper is on television. In the real world where you and I live, that's not how it works. You're going to build wealth and you're going to win in relationships the more you give. And this doesn't have to be done necessarily in some kind of a Christian context. I'm teaching it through my paradigm, how I see things. But, you know, I just read an article the other day in small town Indiana about Jessica Osborne. Jessica is a Pizza Hut waitress. She made a couple of trips to college and failed and bailed out, couldn't make it, didn't have the money, crashed, and she's back in Pizza Hut waiting yet again. And she waited on this particular little family of three time and time and time again over a couple of years, to the point that she became friends with them. She would sit in the booth and talk to them, and she knew their order. She said their order is always two Mountain Dews, a cup of hot water for the tea, a large meat lover, stuffed crust, no pepperoni, with mushrooms and olives. And the other day, that family handed her a tip for $10,000 to go back to college with. Now that's fun. Can you imagine getting to do that? That's fun. I've challenged people on my radio show when I'm doing a tipping hour to turn tipping mentality into a giving mentality. If you're traveling on Thanksgiving Day or Christmas or around then, and you stop in someplace where somebody's waiting tables, Cracker Barrel, Waffle House, or whatever, if you're working Thanksgiving Day, you know why? It's because you got to work. Why don't you just leave a $100 tip that day, at least? Some of you can do that if you do the stuff I've been teaching. Some of you might be, I don't know, the next Jessica's benefactor. I can tell you this, it'll rock your world. When you start giving, whacked stuff happens. happens. It does. And you can't keep it from happening. You become so passionate. You become so creative. Things are turned loose in your life. I mean, wow! It goes crazy. And you're going to find that the more you release, the more fun you're having. And sometimes it leaves and you don't see it again. Sometimes it comes back. I don't believe that there's a guarantee you're always going to make more just because you give more. But I will tell you this, you're going to have more in here every time you give more. Because we're designed in God's image, we're happiest and most fulfilled when we're serving and giving. Albert Schweitzer said this. And I don't know if you know Albert Schweitzer's story, but it's very similar to Mother Teresa's. I don't know if you know Mother Teresa's story. Mother Teresa came from a very wealthy family, turned her back on that and walked into the slums of India and served poor people her whole life. And is, well, by most of our standards, a Christian saint. I'm not speaking from the Catholic Church viewpoint. I'm just saying this woman was an unbelievable saint of God. Absolutely incredible. Albert Schweitzer, very similar, came from a very wealthy family, turned his back on that family in a sense and put the wealth behind him, walked into Africa to serve people in Africa. And he said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Bill Hybels has a great book out. He calls it Descending into Greatness. Descending into Greatness. When you serve, you find happiness. That's the paradox. When you give, you end up with more. Sometimes more in your hands, but always more in your heart. So from a Christian viewpoint, why do you think Scripture has us to give? Well, there's some indicators in Scripture of some of the subsets, if you will, of giving to change us. One reason God has us to give is it's a reminder of ownership. When you're in church on Sunday and you give your tithe or you give an offering, then you have just stood up in a 12-step way and said, my name is Dave, I like stuff, and God owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Giving is also praise and worship. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. You've probably heard that one. It's kind of funny, if you look that word cheerful up in the Greek, it's the word helios. It's where we get our word hilarious from. I think it would really scare some of your churches if some of y'all just broke out laughing during the offering. Just become a hilarious giver. They'd be going, that's the other church down the street. It'd be fun, wouldn't it? God loves an hilarious giver. It's praise and worship. You know, too often it's like we have the main event. We have the choir song. And before the second main event, second half with the preacher, we have halftime, and we take up the offering during halftime. And everybody's looking around going, is Susie here? Is John here? And we forgot that the giving was also part of the praise. That the giving was also part of the worship process. That's the deal. The third reason is it's spiritual warfare when you give. Malachi 3 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, Frank Peretti and Barbara Peretti are friends of mine. I don't know if you've ever read Frank Peretti's books, but he does a great job of painting the unseen in Christian fiction to where it's real, like the demons and the angels that are in the unseen on stuff. And I kind of think about that sometimes. When I'm giving, it's like, I got teenagers in the house. I got little babies in the house. I got a job I'm worried about. I got a spouse going on a trip. When I'm giving, it's like I post big, bad, square-shouldered angels with flaming swords standing all around them going, you're not getting in here. You're not getting in here. Because see, I'm convinced there's a demon of water pumps. It's out there on your car right now. Going blink, 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 blink. And I don't know. I mean, I just kind of have fun with this. I'm not all freaked out about this demon stuff. I read the back of the book. We win. It's okay. You know? So I just figure that little demon's out there going blink, 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 and I pay my tithe check. This angel goes out there with one of those flaming swords, drops it through the hood, and says, come here, little wiggler, get off that car. Now, I can have some fun with this stuff because it says he's going to rebuke the devourer. Now, you figure it out how you want. Frank Peretti will paint it up for you if you don't know. It's pretty good, you know. So, you know, it is spiritual warfare. It is spiritual warfare. And some denominations, some doctrinal people are all into spiritual warfare, and then they don't go tithe. They got this whole thing. They got books out on spiritual warfare, and then they don't give their tenth. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, the Bible says.